I am again with Prevent Blindness America in Chicago. I have no financial disclosures to make, although I will take donations at the end. Just don't tell anybody. I will also disclose the fact that I've not been really intimately working with this program. The person who put this abstract together is no longer with Prevent Blindness America, so I tried to catch up as much as possible, but keep that in mind if there are questions at the end. I'll go over the scope of problem that we're trying to address here. Some of the primary partners in this collaboration, our program goals, project methodology, our screening protocol that we used, and then our results. The scope of the problem in North Carolina specifically, and the population we're looking at here is women over the age of 40. But there are almost 2 million women over the age of 40 in North Carolina. 62,000 of these have some form of vision impairment, 17,000 cases of blindness, just over 700,000 refractive error, 38,000 AMD, 390,000 with cataract, 65,000 with diabetic retinopathy, and 42,000 with glaucoma. The economic impact on age-related eye conditions in North Carolina alone is estimated at $1.5 billion. Annually. A needs assessment that was conducted in 2003 in rural eastern North Carolina showed that there was little or no vision screening service in local health departments, that there was no vision screening outreach service whatsoever throughout the community, and that there was little or no access to eye care specialists. Just real quickly about Prevent Blindness America, we were founded in 1908, 100 years ago, in New York City. We're now headquartered in Chicago, Illinois, and our mission is to prevent blindness and preserve sight. We have affiliates in approximately 20 states, as well as two regional offices, which serve an additional 10 states. The remaining 20 or so states are served out of the national office. Prevent Blindness North Carolina is one of our strongest affiliates. They were established in 1967. They're headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina, but serve the entire state. And their mission is to reach people before blindness strikes. Services that are conducted by Prevent Blindness America and our affiliates include public and professional education, advocacy, community outreach, and patient services, research, which is primarily conducted out of the national office, screening and training, and information and referral. By the way, on the research end, we're not a research organization, but we fund research. A couple of years ago, when we established our strategic plan or redid our strategic plan, we established three separate priorities: one to focus on children's health, one on adult health, and one on eye safety. The adult priority was to increase the number of adults receiving regular eye exams. Our goal in this area is to increase awareness and understanding of the importance of eye exams, to emphasize marginalized populations through our outreach efforts, to increase the adequacy of vision care benefits, because we know that's certainly a barrier, as we've already heard, and to increase federal funding for vision and eye care services and outreach. The Wise Woman program is a program that was initiated at the Centers for Disease Control. It stands for Well Integrated Screening and Evaluation for Women Across the Nation. This program was established in 1995 through the Division of Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention. There are today 21 funded programs in 20 states, including North Carolina. And this provides screenings and lifestyle modification trainings for low-income, uninsured, and underinsured women of the ages of 40 to 64. Their vision is a world where any woman can access preventive health services and gain the wisdom to improve her health. Their mission is to provide low-income, under or uninsured 40 to 64-year-old women with the knowledge, skills, and opportunities to improve diet, physical activity, and other lifestyle behaviors to prevent, delay, and control cardiovascular and other chronic diseases. requirements to become a wise woman or to become a part of the Wise Woman program, or that you're a woman, that makes sense, that you're 40 to 64 years of age, that you're at or below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines, and that you be uninsured or underinsured. And this includes the inability to pay for the premium for Medicare Part B. Screening services that are traditionally provided by Wise Woman include, or services provided, include screenings, and those include blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes screenings. Intervention classes for diet, physical activity, and smoking cessation, and medical referral and follow-up. In North Carolina specifically, which was one of the initial three states along with Arizona and Massachusetts, this program is housed in the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's implemented primarily in local health departments, although in some counties they partner with other partners. There are 47 local providers in 33 counties, and they have a variety of key partners throughout the state. The goals of this particular program were to provide increased vision services to at-risk adults in rural North Carolina, and to serve as a conduit to increase the number of women who are fed into the Wise Woman program. Initially, when we brought these two organizations together, the North Carolina Wise Woman and Prevent Blindness North Carolina, what we thought we would do is implement vision screenings as a part of the Wise Woman program. What ended up happening was we decided to use the vision screening services that were being done in communities throughout North Carolina as a conduit to get women into the Wise Woman program and to increase the number of women that were accessing that program. So that's the approach that's been taken here. The methodology was to increase screenings in the Wise Woman counties and to target those counties that where they were already existing, and to move the Prevent Blindness focus to be more in line with the Wise Woman focus. Some risk assessment questions were added to identify whether or not these women were eligible to be enrolled in the Wise Woman program. And once the screenings are conducted, then referrals are made on to the Wise Woman program. They're asked if they're aware of it, they're connected to it, and then the information is also shared with the coordinators in those counties that these women are eligible for your program. As for the Prevent Blindness America adult vision screening protocol, just review that briefly. We have an adult vision advisory committee that meets annually. It's made up of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and leading public health workers. They review existing protocol each year to update that based on new science and new literature that comes out. There's a general risk assessment that asks all of the typical questions for a vision screening. There's visual acuity, both near and distance. We tend to use the OPTEC or ETDRS charts, although some of the programs use the TIPMIS or Snellen for distance. We also do a visual field test using the FDT machine, and then an exit interview where we discuss the results and talk about the importance of seeing an eye care provider. We don't make specific referrals to specific eye care professionals. However, we do partner with local organizations to get the resources and financial assistance that's needed for these women to get the care that they need. And then follow-up. We contact them several times following afterwards to determine whether or not they've been to an eye care provider, whether they needed assistance to get there. This is, of course, is with any screening program, this is the most challenging piece of it. Keeping track of the women, following up with them, convincing them that they really need to go to follow-up care. Some of the results of the program. In 2005, Prevent Blindness North Carolina screened a total of 2,065 individuals in eight counties served by Wise Woman. And keep in mind that the screenings that occur in these counties aren't just the Wise Woman populations. These are adults, including men. 1,445 of those were female, 432 were referred for follow-up vision care, and of those, 197 were eligible for Wise Woman enrollment and were referred on to the Wise Woman program. In 2006, screened 1,560, 1,000 were female, 300 were referred to follow-up care, and 251 were referred for Wise Woman enrollment. And in 2007, the numbers increased for referral anyway. We screened a total of 1,693, 1,100 were female, 350 were referred for follow-up care, and 442 were referred for Wise Woman enrollment. So that's some information about Prevent Blindness America. I can certainly, if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer those today, but I can also pass you along further information on Prevent Blindness North Carolina, and they could tell you more about the program. Thank you.
Sure.
If I could have the speakers come up, we can have these folks entertain your questions. Well, I have a question. Jeff, who approached whom in terms of these organizations? Did Prevent Blindness approach Wise Woman, or how did that come about?
This was actually, I think it was our first year of, we received funding from the Centers for Disease Control, and as a part of that project, we wanted to do some integration of some programs going on. So we had heard about the Wise Woman program and made that connection. I had asked, I had met with the Wise Woman folks at CDC, and I'd asked them, what's one of your strongest programs? They recommended North Carolina, which was also one of our strongest ones, and so we made that connection locally there.
As I mentioned, after the screening program was conducted, those individual participants who were thought to have glaucoma were actually scheduled into the general clinic. Instead of 1 year, they were put into the general clinic within 3 months. Okay, so that allowed them to get appointments on a more urgent basis, if you will. And the other participants were, again, put back into the general clinic, which was 1 year. As far as the statistics in terms of following those individuals that were diagnosed with glaucoma, that's actually ongoing right now. So.
And what's your plan? How are you going to make sure that follow-up is done? I mean, what is the plan for the program? What is the methodology that you're going to make sure that those...
The people who did have glaucoma... Oh, actually, like I said, those people are definitely in a part of the general clinic, so they're being followed on every 3 months. So
just a quick follow-up question. Do you have a sense of how many of the folks you've identified actually made it to the initial appointment? So.
Well, no, that data okay. We don't have right now.
Right,
exactly. Like I said, I really came in as more of a consultant, mm-hmm. and we're just hoping that these individuals do keep those appointments, because that's a good question. What if they don't keep those 3-month appointments? Mm-hmm. Then what happens? Do they get put back into the general clinic, or are they offered another 3-month appointment? I'm not sure. So.
This question is for Dr. Ball. The whole integrated system that has been put together with PCOD, various clinicians and providers. You know that poster you showed? Is that specifically for PFOD, or is that something that other people could use straight out of the box?
Absolutely. We've actually, right now, the main people that we can see from our tracking that's accessing our website are primary care physicians and nurse practitioners and CDEs. And all these materials, again, the messages are there, and then how an individual chooses to use these messages in their individual setting is totally up to them. We would love for you to order one and hang it in your clinic and then talk to your patients about it and just talk about, reinforce the messages of the ABCs, to stop smoking cessation, that's on the poster, and to see PPOC providers in addition to their internal med and their dietitians and their endocrinologist or whatever mix that that particular person has?
Well, we found through our research, I work with Rail Institute, Blindness Rehab Organization in California, and we're trying to reach Latinos in a specific part of LA, mm-hmm. and what we found is that medical model stops when complications begin. And so whether it's foot, eye, whatever it might be, all of a sudden you're off the chart and no one's really helping you. It's a huge gap. And that the medical model of a physician, you know, I'm done, there's nothing more medically I can do for you. Even optometrists and ophthalmologists are best referrals. Don't always refer, which is very odd if a person has lost their sight, whatever amount. And so one of the things we want to do is do this integrated approach as well with their healthcare providers and a whole FQHC. We have this whole set of clinics that we want to work with to get that all together, people thinking about it, and mainly targeting people who have diabetes. So this whole, you know, it's really amazing how, you know, it seems that the specialty care, like eye, can you imagine that? Specialty, but a specialty care like the eye is seems to be like so separate from the rest of the body that the eye dangles out here or something instead of being, you know, part of all the various organs that are, you know, breaking down.
I know whenever I talk to my patients, I try to sum it up by saying something very simply and reminding them and that everywhere their blood goes, their diabetes goes. Mm-hmm. And usually the light switch goes off then. And I think sometimes we have to get so busy in our own little niches as clinicians, you know, because, I mean, I'm seeing patients, 20 patients a day, 5 days a week. I mean, I just, you know, you guys all know, some days it's a grind, okay? We do it because we love it, we're passionate about it, but some days it's a grind. And it's very easy to forget to go that extra step. And hopefully this is what Peapod is going to do. It's going to remind us how important it is to take that extra step. Small steps give big rewards. Thank you.
This is Dr. Ball or anybody. I don't know if it exists. I know we have Alcoholics Anonymous. Is there a Diabetes Anonymous? This is something to think about. If there isn't, then diabetic patients can get together and talk about and how I help myself this way and how I help myself that way.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't exist, it's something to think about.
That's a great question, and it actually does exist in the JOSLIN. They have support groups, and they also incorporate family members. And
like a national.
Sure, that's exactly right. There's nothing like that I know of internationally. Does anyone know? I mean, nationally, does anyone else know?
Well, I know. I mean, we do some work with the American Association of Diabetes Educators, and I've talked with several of those that work with these sorts of support groups and encourage support groups within the work that they do. So.
Was there a question over here?
Well, I just want to say that I think all of your programs are fantastic. I love your stories. The stories really come across and very, very humane. I work with children with food vision screening for the company I work with. And the stories when the parents come back, it's always like, yes, we did. You know, we just had a child that I saw. They said he had autism, and they wanted me to screen him somehow. And I just did a retinal reflex. That's all I could do for that child. He was all on my face. And he was a plus two. Wow. So, my question is he autistic, or did he miss every single visual cue mm-hmm. since the time he was this big in the womb? Now, that's a throwback to a couple of the doctors, which the parents, once you mentioned the A word, they accept it. You know, now, they're having to unaccept it, and they were really mad. Not me. We bought them the glasses. I bought them the most prettiest pair of glasses. You know, fabulous. As much as I could do with that kind of prescription. But, you know, I think a lot of times with children, we are so quick to put the ADD word on the, you know, ADH word, and of course the autism word. Very quick for that.
Now let me ask you, are you from Chicago?
I wish I was, no. I'm from San Bernardino, California.
Because our law just passed where it mandates children to have annual eye exam.
You can only see my physician.
Oh, really?
And see my physician.
Okay.
And see. And see.
By a physician, by an ophthalmologist?
No. I know. But see, you're mandating.
I'm
talking to you. They're not, yeah. No.
How was you when you found it?
Three.
Okay, so you
I just have one. I have a friend in the audience who's a Canadian. My understanding is that once you're diagnosed with diabetes in Canada, there's actually a registry and a network that exists. No, maybe. I was speaking with someone. That just sounds like a phenomenal thing. So, anyway. Okay, thanks.